Hello and welcome to the Feverbee podcast. My name is Katie Kobe and I'm head of training here at Feverbee Limited. I train community managers in the art of community building using proven social science techniques. In the Feverbee podcast, I'll share tools and techniques that you can use in your daily community management efforts. Listen weekly to get new tips, industry news, and hear stories from guest practitioners to help you become the best community manager in the business. Make sure you subscribe for free updates and review our show notes to get all of the resources mentioned in the podcast today. Show notes are published weekly at communitygeek.com/podcast. Today we are joined by the incredible Jen Petey. Jen is currently the lead community manager for e-moderation and is also an adjunct professor at Syracuse University, teaching social media and community management to graduate students in the School of Information Studies. In 2010, she co-founded the popular Twitter chat, hashtag CMGRChat, with Kelly Lux, and she also founded thecommunitymanager.com, which is an amazing site with a wealth of community management-related resources. So Jen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm so glad to have you on the show. You've kind of been on my list of someone to reach out to for a while, so I'm really glad that we're making this work.
That's
so
great.
For today, you and I were chatting and we thought that we were going to revisit the topic of crises in the world of social media and online community, because it seems like every year, despite everyone's best intentions, there's some major gaffes that pop up. And it sort of seems like each year they tend to be getting worse and worse, where it's like you think they would be getting better at this point. They wouldn't be as severe, but you know, the world never ceases to amaze us. So just to kick off the conversation, I'm curious to know, for you and the work that you do and what you teach your students, what types of events out there really constitute as a crisis situation? And do sort of the major world crises that we've been seeing most recently, do these ever translate into being considered as a crisis situation for your brand?
Sure. So there's all sorts of types of crisis, I guess. You could start with something very small and go up to something huge, like a world crisis, right? So there's varying degrees, and there's lots of research onto, you know, charts and graphs and where does a crisis fall in a specific quadrant, and, you know, when should you respond and when should you listen and when should you act. Like, there's actually a lot of academic research and discussion on the particular topic. But just to keep it pretty simple, like, basically anything considered a crisis online could be something from, you know, an errant tweet that you just tweeted the wrong thing from the wrong account, and on up to, you know, a product has gone completely bad and maybe a company needs to recall it and everyone is really upset with, you know, the company for any particular reason, whether it's the product or the customer service or something. So there's just a lot of risk out there for any brand, basically. And major world crises, when you get into the bigger things, like, that's absolutely something that brands can, should be prepared for, because it can happen, you know, whether you're a candy company or a, you know, oil and gas company or a startup. Like, it doesn't really matter what industry you're in, any type of crisis can happen in those things, in those areas. So always best to be prepared, I suppose. And the more prepared you are, the better you are to handle the fallout.
That's very, very true. Well, so with that said, then, how do you go about training community managers or moderators that you maybe have on your team? What do you do for that?
Sure. So when it comes to, you know, something like moderation, we'll start there, is kind of your entry level. Those are the people that are, you know, the eyes and ears for the most part. They're trained to follow guidelines. So anyone who's in control of an account, whether it's marketing, customer service, community, it doesn't really matter. Whoever is the point person on a brand should absolutely have moderation guidelines that they should be following, something that, you know, has keywords or specific things that they know might be trouble areas, or just anything that's out of the ordinary, they would need to flag up and escalate to the certain powers that be to get that rolling. So moderators, when they first even start, they should go through a training of just what to be on the lookout for. You know, because some brands might not tolerate anything, you know, but then other brands might be okay, cool with, you know, swear words and whatever type of foul language. I mean, there's just all sorts of stuff that just differs depending on the brand. But yeah, I mean, just starts with basic preparedness as far as, you know, what's okay and what's not okay.
And what do you recommend for, like, escalations? And, like, because you had mentioned moderators are trained to follow the guidelines and look for anything out of the ordinary. So when they find something that's out of the ordinary, what do you recommend they do afterwards?
Sure. So they should definitely escalate it up to various levels. Now, usually, at least in our case, the moderators will kind of escalate it to the community managers who are on the shift at the same time, because mm-hmm. they're the ones that are trained to, you know, be the second pair of eyes of, is this really, you know, something that's a problem versus something that just they weren't able to handle themselves. So an example would be maybe somebody in a community is talking about suicide. Mm. Or, you know, domestic abuse or rape or something of that nature. And what winds up happening in a lot of our cases with our communities at eModeration is we'll escalate it to the client, because we're an agency, and we'll say, you know, here's the link, here's the subject, we've hidden it, now we need to respond to this person or do a wellness check or get in touch with them somehow, email if we have it, phone calls if we have it, you know, just make sure that person is okay. Mm-hmm. And so those are, I don't want to say minor crises because they're very serious situations, but those are the things that you don't necessarily, they don't go into the public too much. You know, mm-hmm. there may be a comment or a tweet or a Facebook or something, and, you know, you can hide it and then take it offline. Whereas you need to get into the bigger crises of just, you know, being barraged with comments on Twitter for something you've done or not done.
Yeah. My favorite is the barrage of, Facebook comments, and then when brands try and start deleting them, then you get that whole like pile on effect.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's terrible. I mean, we have an arsenal of crisis, like examples of good and bad. And mm-hmm. I mean, there's all sorts of examples. Like I think Nestle was one of my favorites, where they had a couple of years ago where they were just basically one person had been on too long and just started cracking. And I felt, you know, you feel so bad for those people. You never want to be the community manager in question, but he was just like, oh, you know, like getting defensive. And I'm like, oh, that's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah. No. Let's not get defensive. I think my favorite most recent one, and this one's probably just because it's fresh in my mind, was what happened with Play-Doh over Christmas. And they had released a product that unfortunately, to many mothers out there, just looked very inappropriate. And I saw photos of it. It did look really inappropriate. I don't know how that got past the powers that be. But then it's just more so the way that they like reacted to the situation, like, you know, deleting the comments and getting defensive and that sort of thing. It's like that makes the whole thing worse. Mm-hmm. But getting back to the subject of training, in our conversations when we were talking about the podcast, you had mentioned a tool called Pulpeo. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Pulpeo.
Pulpeo. So how does that work and what does that do? I quickly looked at their site, and I'll link to the site on the podcast recap page. It says that they almost do like crisis simulations. So could you go into more detail about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually one of my favorite things that I've kind of become a part of in the past year since joining the company. So eModeration works with a PR company, and together they've built this side company called Pulpeo, and it's a platform. It's a safe space for teams to practice a crisis simulation. And it's actually going to be at South by Southwest. So if anybody is going to that, then they can participate in the workshop that's happening there. But basically, we go into brands who've requested this, and we do very individualized content. So we put a team through a crisis simulation that they would probably find themselves in, hopefully not, but, you know, to prepare in case, that's very particular to their brand. And then we also have community managers on the back end. So it's all very live. Nothing's automated. Mm. And we have fake platforms. So instead of Twitter, it's called Flipper. And instead of Facebook, it's Social Network. And, you know, it's set up to look almost exactly the same with the same functionality, give or take, you know, a few of the features. But, and there's crisis points that come out. So in the course of, I don't know, an hour or 2 hours, 3 hours, however long you want to put your team through the paces, you can put out these things, like more information kind of comes to light, like, oh, people have posted it, you know, in private groups, or these Facebook posts are being, you know, inundated, or Twitter has, you know, come up with these types of things. So you can really curate the type of content you want yourself to make sure your team is prepared and going through. And what always happens is, no matter how prepared you think you are going in, even if you put, you know, the whole team does wonderfully, there's always something to learn, and there's always really great feedback that we're able to give on, you know, your speed of response or your tone of voice, or, you know, did you completely neglect an entire network, you know, things like that. So, and the communication that happens in a room And it's usually social media managers, community managers, brand marketers, HR, tech, product. I mean, everybody's usually in the room going through these things. So they get a real hands-on learning of what would happen if something went wrong.
That sounds like a really fantastic tool to use. And I'm surprised that there haven't been others out there that are like it, but it just seems like a very exposed part of the market that you guys are stepping into fill, which is incredible. Because I mean, there's tons of blog posts that have been written about crisis management. You know, people talk about it here and there, but actually I don't think anything replaces just going through it real time. And like, how do you handle when the stress is on you and you've got, you know, potentially hundreds of people like telling you how much that they hate you in real time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and we've done it for, you know, a number of companies, both in North America and in Europe, and I think a few in Australia too, actually. So it's definitely got this global feel to it. And last one I did was actually in December, and it was I was in Chicago presenting at the same time we were doing it with a team in Zurich. And I was jokingly calling it synchronized presenting, but then the two teams were kind of going through it at the same time, and then they were able to talk about their different experiences, but have that international feeling of, you know, what would the differences, what would one team have done differently than the other? And it's just really cool to hear all the feedback amongst them. And
oh, so you almost had, you had like a U.S. team going through it at the exact same time as a team from Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
That's so incredible.
It was really fun. And I mean, they both saw the differences in like how they communicate and what they would do. And it wasn't a competition, but the US team was actually a bit more put together than the European team, because I feel like for the most part, you know, like you have said, there's a lot of resources out there, but until you actually go through it, you don't really know if you're prepared or not. You know, operational preparedness is different than, you know, theory. Oh,
completely. And I mean, the cultural differences, I'm always so interested in the cultural differences between different cultures and how they react and respond online. Like when you look at a community or a forum that's like based in, I don't know, somewhere in Germany versus here in the US or, you know, in Australia, just the way people speak, the tones that they use, the things they complain about, it's also different. So I can imagine that you must have had some really incredible learnings coming out of that one.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I think what will wind up happening is, you know, it was the first time in this case. And so they'll go away and they'll take away all their feedback that we gave them, and they came up with each other. And then hopefully we'll do it again to see what they've learned or how they've improved, you know, in 6 months or a year or something.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, so as part of this, like these recommendations that you give to these teams, I mean, one of the main recommendations that I've always heard and I've actually always given is having some sort of like a process document in place in the event that a crisis happens, because when, you know, emotions are high, you can kind of lose your bearings a little bit. And so by having something that's like already documented that you can just read from step by step, do you guys, I mean, what are your takes on process documents? Are they worth the time? Do they just go out the window when there's a crisis happening?
Oh man, no. So they are extremely important. I would say they definitely didn't go out, they don't go out of the window. And if anything, people do rely on them in the situation. So one of the ones we did last year, they had worked for months on a social media crisis guide, and they did it with other industry partners and different organizations that helped them build it. And it was this like almost catalog looking thing. And, you know, it had a lot of academic information. It had a lot of, you know, how the company, and this was like a, you know, I don't know how many people, there's like 100,000 people in this company. It was huge. And so for them, like they needed to have this kind of information, because you're probably not going to know who is involved in every department. So, it was really important. And even if it's a one pager, you know, for a smaller company, just to be like, here's your in case of emergency people, or what if something happens in off hours, or what constitutes a crisis, just basic information for somebody who may not be on your social team, but may need to jump in a certain situation. You know, HR is often a department that has to jump into a crisis, and they don't really know how social works sometimes, or, you know, things of that nature. So, or legal, you know, they should always be involved in these things. But, and so a crisis document or process document is absolutely necessary, I would say, for any brand, big or small.
Yeah. I think one thing I always like to include in these documents is, phone numbers, because, you know, the drama almost never happens when you're in the office. I mean, sometimes it does, but for the most part, it usually doesn't. And so even, you know, having like the phone number, like not everyone checks their email when they leave for the day or, you know, for the weekend. And so being able to send someone a quick text or a, you know, like give them a quick call, I think can help a lot as well. So if you're making the process documents, make sure that you at least include that piece in there.
Oh yeah. And I have a perfect example of it actually. On Monday this past week, it was like 8 a.m. Eastern and 6 or 5 a.m. Pacific. And the client that I work on is Pacific time. And
so they're still sleeping.
Yeah. And they were sleeping and we had a bomb threat. And so we're like, okay. And we have very strict process guidelines for this kind of thing, but you have to take every comment seriously. And so we did, and we called everyone we could, but obviously people are sleeping at 5 o'clock in the morning. And so then it goes into this like giant email chain of who needs to know. And as people start to wake up, they, you know, see their voicemails and then they see the email and then it goes from there. So it was actually pretty quick that people were able to, you know, snap into place and follow the process. And, you know, the authorities were alerted and everything happened pretty quickly. But yeah, without those kinds of documents or guidelines and phone numbers, absolutely. Like those things could go wildly out of control.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a very scary situation. I have to admit that's not ever a situation I've been a part of, and I hope that I don't ever have to be. But very much a good example. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So shifting away from the process, I guess I sort of have a couple of questions around like, you know, what would you do or what would you teach your students to do? Like if your community has suddenly revolted against you, I think that's something that brands don't necessarily fear, but it does happen. I think brands are more scared at the onset of like what people are going to say. But if you have a community that's relatively friendly and then all of a sudden, you know, something happens and people just are hating on you guys, what do you do?
It does happen. In fact, one of the clients I work on has been happening for about the past 3 months where for the most part, 99% of the time, everyone's a really supportive community, very happy, overwhelmingly positive. And something happened where there was a particular ad that they were using on all of their media, online and offline, that the community just didn't agree with. And a lot of times advertising and community never talk, right?
Like, right.
There's no real reason for them to talk to, maybe a little insight here and there. But and so there really wasn't anything we could do. We couldn't take the ads down per se. I mean, there's money involved and things like that. And all we really could do is just listen. And so, you know, just in some cases, you don't need to respond. You just need to let it get out of their system. So as long as they're not threatening anything, right? They're just more expressing their disappointment or, you know, they're really unhappy, you know, as long as they're not all saying we're going to leave, which that's not much you can do with that either. But, I mean, we took down every comment from every platform and started creating a doc with, you know, how many people and what types of comments and are they more questioning or are they negative or are they threatening? Like where do they fall on the spectrum of type of conversation? And then, you know, what we can do is then take all of that information, say, look, like X percentage of the community really hated this. In the next 6 months, when you're thinking about your advertising budget, take that into consideration, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So it may not be able to be a quick fix. And we all know that there's slow moving parts in a big business, but, you know, having information is powerful. So arming your departments with the actual feedback from the community, you're not taking surveys, you're actually just listening to what they're saying and giving that information to the right people. Hopefully the rest of the company will make the right decision not to go forward, because then if they do it again, and then, you know, then that's a whole different ball of wax. Like now you're just angering people for the sake of it and they might not come back.
Right. Very true. So then in this particular case, you had mentioned like you don't always need to respond. Was your team posting anything like about, you know, we like, thanks so much for your feedback. Like we hear you, very sorry that you're offended X, Y, or Z, or did you just simply like let them go?
We simply just let it go. Mm-hmm. And that's a judgment call. Like sometimes you can say we're sorry about it, but you can't say that unless you know you're not going to do it again.
Right.
And in the company's case, we didn't know if they were going to do it again. So you don't want to say, you know, we're sorry, we're not going to do this, or we're sorry, we're listening, but we're not really listening because we're not going to change. Like, you know, that becomes really tricky. So I would say that in this case, it was okay not to say anything, and just it died down after about a week or two. And so, you know, we just put up other content. There was like a different focus, and, you know, it just, not that it went away. We're still getting some comments here and there, but it's a right. discussion now within the company for the next few months worth of advertising. So we'll see how that happens. Gotcha. And so in a second round, our conversation then would have to be something different and how we respond.
Gotcha. All right. That totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. Well, how does then crisis management vary, I guess, when you're using channels like Twitter and Facebook versus being on maybe like a community platform or a forum or something? Is there any difference or?
There can be. So in a big crisis, a lot of times your employees will use like a private community to talk about stuff, you know, like in one of the scenarios we did for Pulpio, we simulated, this is terrible, but we simulated like a plane crash.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and it was this huge, like actual operational thing. And, you know, in that situation, there would be employees involved and, you know, things like that. So private communities, you're able to say a little bit more, you know, and kind of assuage the people that are closest to the situation. You know, and with social, it's more, I don't want to say PR, but it's, you know, you're very careful of every word, you know,
right.
Not that you wouldn't be in a private community, but you might be able to say a little bit more in a private community
yeah.
or be a little bit more focused, you know, about certain audiences or communities that you know more information about.
Gotcha. I could imagine, especially like in that particular situation. Do you ever worry though with private communities that someone could, you know, screenshot it or do anything
yeah.
like that? Yeah.
Yeah, but it depends on you'd have to know the community, right? So like if it's an employee, employee community, they would know that like this information was specifically for them. And you would just say things like, you know, we're keeping on top of things or, you know, we're very aware of the people. Like you would say things still generally speaking that, you know, wouldn't get you into too much trouble, but, you know, there'd be an expectation, I would say, from, you know, your closest communities to keep the information close to you, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. All right. Well, then what do you think is – I mean, like I had mentioned when we started the conversation that crises, they don't ever seem to be like lessening. Like there's always someone out there that's doing something dumb and causing a whole bunch of attention from it. What do you think is really the top cause of these crises in online communities?
That's a really good question. I think most of it is just human error,
yeah.
right? The things I read most about are, you know, the mistaken tweets, right? Like
right.
from the wrong account, right? Just keep two different things on your phone, right? Like one's professional, one's personal, and you won't ever make that mix up.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is probably product, right? Like you mentioned the Play-Doh thing earlier, where
right.
who knows how that even got out into the world without someone saying that looked like a phallic thing.
Right. Oh man.
But it happens. And so I think it's human error and then product, you know, issues, recalls you can't do anything about. And so, yeah, I think those are the biggest things. And then just, I don't want to say act of God, but, you know, the big massive crises that happen, you know, something mm-hmm. like, you know, weather on down to, you know, violence or something. So.
Gotcha. I mean, I guess with some of them, they could be prevented. Like, I mean, with human error, like you said, having a different app on your phone or, I mean, really that's like the best way to prevent that one is having like a different app on your phone. But, you know, with the product thing, maybe like having more people review it or,
mm-hmm.
you know, beta testing to like a limited audience of people to see if there's any other type of feedback or anything that comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
A major crisis is you can't really prevent them, but just having the process documents in place. One question actually that just popped into my head, what are your thoughts around like, so when we have major crises, and some of them can be very sensitive, especially politically sensitive. You know, we see out there a lot of people who are like, don't, you know, put a pause on your automated tweets. Don't say anything. Just like completely, if something big drama happens, like, completely, you know, just like put a halt on everything you're saying and keep quiet. Whereas then you have another school of thought is people saying like, well, yes, but you know, life goes on, business goes on, this particular crisis isn't affecting me. What are your thoughts there?
My favorite thing to say is when something bad happens, mm-hmm. at no point does anyone say, oh man, I didn't hear out of X brand today on Twitter, or, you know, why isn't blah, blah talking about this on Facebook or in their, like, no one ever says that. I never wonder if a brand is reacting, right? So it's always best to err on the side of caution.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the type of crisis too. If it's a national thing, right, like we'll say a gun shooting or something, mm-hmm. then it's just best to stay quiet.
Right.
You know, like give it a day. It's really all you need to do. Like let the communication tools kind of rise the real information to the top kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, and then, you know, you can still send out your stuff, you know, via email or private communities or whatever if you really need to, but it's just best to stay quiet. And that's not really, I don't think it's really up for discussion, right? It's more of just it's just smart business. Like, don't risk it, you know, mm-hmm. don't be that brand that gets made fun of for the next month about their indiscretions or something. You know, like, I think the best example was Epicurious during the Boston bombings a year or two ago. And they were trying to relate like their recipes and breakfast to like something about the bombing. And I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing?
Why would you do that?
Why? Exactly. Yeah. Why?
I remember the Gap coupon fiasco during Hurricane Sandy.
Oh my God.
Where they were like stuck inside, like here's your promo code or something. Like, really?
It's absurd. It is absolutely absurd. There's a million ways to do social good, right?
Right.
But like that is not it.
That's very, very true. Well, we're getting close to the end here. So do you have any sort of last minute thoughts or suggestions or words of advice related to crises before we sign off for the day?
Basically, I mean, it sounds simple, but you know, and a lot of times it's common sense. But if it's not so common, just ask other people, you know, like not necessarily in your company, but other people in the world of community, like, does this sound right to you? Or should mm-hmm. we do this just to get a second opinion? And I feel like everyone in this community is so helpful that you'll get honest feedback of, you know, what to do in the sense of a crisis, whatever, however big or small it is.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, there's ways to ask your peers anonymously so they don't have to know, you know, exactly all the details of what's going down. But there are tons of private Facebook group for community managers on Facebook. There's obviously the CMGR chat hashtag on Twitter, which gets a ton of activity 24/7 with people asking questions. You know, there's other private networks and groups that people can be a part of, like our community geek or the community roundtable, things like that. So it's mm-hmm. a really good point is to not just ask someone internally, but ask your peers.
Absolutely.
It's a very good one. All right. Well, one last question for you then. Who would you like to see interviewed next on this podcast?
Oh, that's such a great question. There's so many people these days that I'm just like geeking out over, but I don't know if you've had her already, but Sarah Judd Welch would be a phenomenal person to talk to.
I have not.
You should talk to her. She's got Loyal, which I know she's got some really cool initiatives coming up, so you might want to chat with her.
All right. That's a good one. I love Sarah. I met her at last fall, actually, when she was in town for CMX, so I'll have to give her a ring and see what she says.
Oh, good.
All right. Perfect. Well, Jen, thank you so, so much for joining today. I really appreciate it. For everyone else out there, if you like this episode, please make sure to visit communitygeek.com/podcast to review the show notes and all the reference links. I like to include all of the links that we mentioned on the call today, as well as any other resources that I can find. So you can visit communitygeek.com/podcast to check all that stuff out. And thanks so much for listening. We'll see you guys next week.